J.J. Watt's going to join us on the radio show coming up at 7:45. Do not miss it, 7:45 for J.J. Watt. The first round of the draft, we are now only 2 days away, Thursday night in Nashville, Tennessee. Draft rumors, are we buying or selling these rumors?
I'm buying all of them. I buy into everybody says, hey, this is lying season. Screw you. We believe lots of lies in our lives.
Well, let's go through this. So Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network is reporting that the Raiders are looking at the kind of surprise pick at number four that would require absolute secrecy, a pick at number four that we are not expecting at all.
Is that a humble brag?
Okay, this one annoyed me when I saw it. Like, what the? What? I am open to being surprised, I suppose. And by surprise, I mean them actually pulling something off that's somehow a surprise at pick number four. So I guess they need this absolute secrecy because they're afraid that somebody will trade above them. The only surprise I could think of that would require or demand absolute secrecy is if they're drafting somebody who's actually expected to go much later than four, right? Like, it's somebody that somebody thinks, like, hey, we're going to pick this guy hopefully up at 15 or something, but he's probably not going to be one of these top guys, which leaves me kind of rubbing my hands together in anticipation of the anger that Raiders fans are going to have over this. Is that the way you read it? That's the way I read it.
I mean, because if I'm going to make a total surprise at number four, then it's probably not going to be somebody who people are picking in mock drafts at number four, right?
Right. Could it be a trade? I mean, do you need this absolute... I mean, it's easy to have absolute secrecy with nobody around. You remember John Dorsey? People in the Browns didn't know that John Dorsey was going to take Baker Mayfield.
Until, like, the day of.
Right. Like, so it's very, very possible to keep a secret when you're the GM. I think it's more... Do you think Mike Mayock might not trust John Gruden?
I think he has to trust John Gruden.
He has to trust him in as much as, like, that's who he's working with.
Well...
But, yeah, I would worry that John Gruden, not intentionally, but just with his flapping gums, would somehow betray their secrecy somehow.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think John Gruden really wants Kyler Murray. The problem is they're not going to get Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that Mayock has to really worry about much because Gruden's ultimately making the choice. And I just think they're going to take whoever is a top defensive player.
What would the big secret be that they're afraid to? Honestly, is it Daniel Jones or something? Maybe the big secret that we required absolute secrecy. To the point where you send all the scouts home, that's got to be quarterback related, right? Like when you see a huge trade up in the first round, it's a quarterback. You know it's a quarterback.
Oh, you guys.
What? Well, who is it?
You're just not on my level right now. All right, so remember when John Gruden used to be the head coach of the Oakland Raiders? Do you remember what the Raiders did in the 2000 NFL draft in the first round?
Janikowski.
And it's
here comes the kicker.
I don't even know who is he.
I don't know. Just make up a kicker. Rodrigo Blankenship, the guy from Georgia with the goggles. That's the only kicker I can think of.
Drafted Janikowski in the first round. He plays 20 years for your organization.
He didn't play forever.
Was that a bad pick?
At 17, not awful.
It was only a bad pick in that it's hard to believe you couldn't have gotten him in the second round.
That's the problem.
Well, but it's a good pick because, like, most of the guys who got picked in the first round that year didn't play 10 years. Very few of them, like, went on to as much success as Janikowski did. But anyway, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that.
I hope not.
Not with Mayock.
I would hope not.
If Al Davis and John Gruden were in charge, if Al Davis were in charge, that might happen, but not with Mike Mayock at the helm. I
actually think they'll make a standard pick at number four. I think it'll be one of the top players on the board. I think
a punter. Gotcha.
Can you read that report again about the Raiders?
Yes. Ian Rapoport says the Raiders are looking at some sort of surprise pick at number four that would necessitate absolute secrecy. That is what I understand. A pick at number four that we are not expecting. So what it actually is, I don't know.
I don't think Rapoport should have reported that. What the hell is that? Doesn't pass the sniff test.
The only way you need absolute secrecy is if you love a quarterback, and I can't envision a quarterback they love that they would need to keep secret. Because if they love Dwayne Haskins, they're going to sit there and pick up number four. There's no real secrecy required.
Right, because unless somebody's going to trade up for Dwayne Haskins.
Which doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
Right now. Meanwhile,
you think they, by the way, if they had their choice of Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, You said Kyler Murray? Okay.
They would.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They would.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I mean, all these rumors for months have been that Gruden has loved Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah, I know these rumors. Yeah, I get
well,
it.
Well, do you believe them? Like, I believe them 100%.
I don't know because John Gruden doesn't love young quarterbacks in general.
But he loves quarterbacks who aren't his quarterbacks.
That's true. And then they become his and he hates them.
Yes.
But so right I'm just now, trying to think of like, that's true. You got to remember, Gruden doesn't actually know himself.
Yes.
He doesn't. He's not self-aware. So he might love Kyler Murray. He's going to hate him after the first minicamp. And be like, oh, crap. I got. Because then he starts talking himself up. You know, like that's his little, his brand of motivation is convincing himself that his roster sucks and that he's got to really, really, outwork everybody else coaching. But he'll, yeah, okay.
Well, meanwhile, Albert Breer of MMQB is reporting that two of the teams that he's heard most often as trade-up candidates are Carolina and Houston. But they would not be going up for quarterbacks.
I believe that.
Now, this I'm absolutely believing. Yeah, absolutely 100% believing.
And that's why the top half of the draft, what you got to really watch out for is the Carolina Panthers and what do they do and who are they picking at 16. Because a lot of people have them taking an offensive lineman. And if it's Andre Dillard or Jonah Williams or one of these other guys, that's obviously one fewer and probably the last offensive tackle taken in the draft that you actually think is a legitimate bona fide, hell yeah, I feel good taking him in the first round. Maybe not. I mean, there's others, Cody Ford and some of these other guys that I get a little bit more nervous about, and you don't know if they're even necessarily tackles. But for getting the guy that you actually want, the Carolina Panthers are a big obstacle.
The more I think about it, I just think Andre Diller is the perfect fit for this football team, the Texans.
Yeah.
I really do. I just think he's the perfect fit. I know that they want somebody who is a good run blocker. I know Bill O'Brien wants to run the football. I get all of that. But ultimately, what they have to do is protect Deshaun Watson. And who better than somebody like this who's played in a pass-happy system, who as a prospect is considered like really athletic, really quick feet. He allowed one sack this past season.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about the possibility of him ending up in Detroit or Minnesota or Carolina. And I'm like, we need Andre Diller from Washington State, not these other lousy football teams.
I thought I had banned talk of, hey, he played in a pass-happy system.
I know.
Like saying, that's like drafting a tight end because he played in a pro-style system. How's that all work out for you, Kobe Fleener? It's like, oh, hey, he played in a pro-style system. This is going to be awesome because he'll be able to step in. Like, all right, well, what are you paying your assistant coaches to do? To just be sure that guys keep doing what they did in college? Fine, he played in a pass-happy system. So he had 25% more pass-blocking reps than some other guys, except he did it versus Pac-12 athletes. There's like seven good ones.
What's wrong with the Pac-12?
It's not the SEC.
It is not
If we're
going to
start talking about what system did you play in, like, oh, okay, you played in the Pac-12, where,
but,
like, and maybe a quarter of your games you face an NFL-caliber pass rusher.
I am pretty convinced that if Brian Gain trades up, which I don't think he wants to do, but he could be forced into that situation. If he's trading up, Andre Dillard is the one, the left tackle from Washington State. That's the one that I'm betting on.
Yeah, I'm not sold enough on any of these offensive line prospects to say that the Texans should trade up. I'm going to get excited in the moment if Brian Gain does it, but I want as many picks as possible. I really do. I don't, and trading all the way up to 15 or 14 or 13, that would be probably a little too pricey for me. I'm all up for like a little 3 or 4 pick swap.
Based off of, you know, looking back at last year, it might be possible to trade up to 15 in Washington's pick in front of Carolina by just giving up your third round pick in addition to that first round pick. Maybe you have to throw one of the later 6th or 7th round picks into the mix as well. But
the problem is if the Redskins are going to draft a quarterback, are they going to want to go all the way down to 23? They might feel
maybe
good.
Maybe like Daniel Jones.
It's a good question.
Especially when they got the Giants at 17. You know, if the Giants haven't taken a quarterback with their first pick in the first round, the Redskins who want a quarterback have the Giants two behind them.
But that aside, just the point that Paul mentioned about the compensation, aside from what the other team's going to do, if Andre Dillard is there and they really like him and all it takes is a third round pick and maybe something else to go from 23 to 15, that's something that I am absolutely willing to do on Thursday night.
That's the reason I bring up the Redskins is that I don't think the compensation would be just that. I think the Redskins would need more than
maybe
some of that other precedent that's been set to trade down because they want a quarterback. And they're not going to miss out on 8 opportunities to draft him.
Breer is reporting that Detroit is a team that could surprise by taking a quarterback. This I'm not buying at all. This is not the kind of draft that if I had a quarterback like Matt Stafford, that I would be moving on for these prospects.
This is, you know what? Boy, And I don't mean to bring this up lightly at all. Matt Stafford's wife just got out of a 12-hour brain surgery. So, like, obviously a very tense time for Stafford's family. As a GM, can you imagine if, like, you actually were considering drafting a quarterback in the first round? You shouldn't let that affect you at all, but that would weigh heavy on me. Yeah, you know, making that actual decision of, like, okay, Matt Stafford, like, 2 days before the draft, he's sitting at the hospital with his wife having surgery. And that, you know, you're not drafting anybody to be his immediate replacement.
Yes.
But his eventual replacement within the next 3 years, man, that's a dicey situation.
I can't argue with that. From a human standpoint, if you're the GM and you know Matt Stafford and you know his family, absolutely that would be going through your mind.
But you can't let that make the decision for you.
You cannot.
You got to just actually make that call on draft night.
That's one of those brutal, just real life situations. Ooh,
good morning, everybody. It's 6:29. Hope you have a great day.
It's not a bad point that you mentioned. Ultimately, I just don't think if I had somebody like
Mike,
Matt
Stafford. It's the most important point of the day. If this comes up on draft night, I'm going to call a GM of the Lions a beast.
If I had a quarterback like Matt Stafford, I'm not moving on from Stafford for the quarterbacks in this draft. Because I ultimately don't think they're good enough.